puja. So tonight is Tuesday, 25th June 2019. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall proceed with the puja. Namo Bhansi Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusyen Pusa. Namo Pusyen Pusa. Namo Pusyen Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava bodang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipano bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Suramiraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapadithena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang ปูจาบัจจานามุทเธมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกุสุมาสันทัตินปูจายามิมุนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุดังกุสุเมนาเนนาพุนเนนามเตนาเจโหทุโมคังปูพังมิลายะติยะตาอิดังเมกายโยตตายะติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเทปานิยังปริกาพิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุมุตเถมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเทปาเลปาริกาพิตังอานุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุมุตเถมังอาทิวาเสตุโนบันเทโบจานังปริกาพิทังอานุคัมปังอุปาดายะปาติกันหาทุมุตเถมัง Now let us chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits with all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Gem. Badang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. We can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. We are off the light. Then you all can begin your meditation. I will set the alarm. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed. For those who still need to train your mind, you can either start out with the mind sweeping method, followed by metta. The mind sweeping method is a very good, skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking mind. You need to use it when your spiritual faculty are not stable yet. But once your spiritual faculty are stable, the mental hindrance does not disturb you, then you don't need any method or technique. You don't even need any skillful means. Your mind straight away will be in the meditative state. You just relax and wear silent. Then the silent mind will arise. Initially, if you were to still have some form of thought arising, never mind, just let it arise. Because if your daily mindfulness has been developed to a very stable extent, then this thinking also will not be there. Immediately, the moment you sit, your mind is already in the silent aware straight away. You can just relax and maintain the silent within. Then you meditate with this silent mind. Initially, just allow the awareness to run on its own. Whatever that happened within the former mind, most of the time is the tactile, contact with sense, experience. So you have your five physical senses and your brain, which is the sixth sense that can arise the thought. So any of these senses upon contact, it will trigger off the respective consciousness. Then you input the content. If you are silent, you can see them clearly. But when you meditate, you don't need to know anything. You just relax and maintain awareness. Whatever arises, just acknowledge it. Aware, finish. Then all this will slow down. Even thought arise, aware, it will slow down. Then if you have any particular object of meditation, you go there, it will also be aware. And it can be very quiet, very peaceful, very fast. Especially if you have trained yourself in anapanasati until your mind has entered sati, pasati, then straight away there is hardly any breathing at all. Your breath is all very quiet, very still. Then you can maintain awareness there. Then when you are aware, it can develop the understanding on its own, because that itself is the meditative mind. You don't need to do anything. Allow the mind to settle down until it becomes very quiet and very still. That is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, pasati, the meditative mind. And that mind can understand. It can awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then those who need to train their mind after mind sweeping method combined with metta, you can stabilize that mindfulness that has arisen by anchoring it to the breathing, anapanasati. You develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. Maintain awareness at the breathing. The moment the awareness detects the breath, just allow it to move together as one, synchronized in harmony. So the awareness and the breath move as one. Then as the Buddha's instruction, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So when the awareness and the breath move as one, it is anapanasati, means mindfulness of the in and out breath. You just continue to develop it. Every time the mind wanders off, bring it back. Wanders off, you bring it back. Then not long, the anapanasati was stabilized. And when it's stabilized, you continue to relax into it and maintain awareness until the mind experiences piti, sukhang, and finally it will develop into very calm state. Then the breath also will become very subtle, very still. Then you will experience paucity, the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. That is the meditative mind, the silent mind. That is the mind you are there to train. Once you are able to train it until it's so quiet and so still, then your mind will develop the more refined awareness, sati, allowing the mind to be in the state of sati. So we call it the mind enters sati, means that mind is all the time aware and it's a free mind. That mind state can meditate, can understand many things. Okay, I will let you meditate on your own. Then when the alarm comes off, I will ring the bell 3 times. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. We all can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sukato loka vidu Anutaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusana Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujupatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samichi patipano bhagavato sāvakkasaṅgho Yadidaṃ catari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sāvakkasaṅgho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakeneyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Vedang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. I think today's topic is quite interesting. It's about the enlightenment state, Nibbana, chapter 33, page 490. Okay. Oh, no need. Too low. Just like that will do. Unless I get a higher one. Taller one. Then why? Later on, maybe I look for a table. Okay. Page 490. Nibbana. Nibbana is a Pali word for enlightenment. So this particular topic is quite interesting. Then there's a Dhammapada verse that talks about Nibbana. He said Nibbana is bliss supreme. Or in Pali is Nibbana paramang sukang. Paramang sukang. Sukang is bliss or joy or happiness. That's why the five jhanic factor, you remember? Vitaka, vichara, piti, sukha, sukhang. The fourth jhanic factor is bliss, blissfulness of mind. So, Nibbana is the highest or supreme bliss. I mean, it is the most blissful state that a living being can ever experience. But technically, there is nothing to experience when you really realize Nibbana, cessation of form and mind. You cannot talk about it. There is no mind to experience anything. It is the unconditioned. So what the Buddha meant is, it's like you can realize that state, means that cessation state, then you will come to understand, if you want to describe it, it is the supreme bliss, because there is no other state better than that. Because within that state, everything ceases. No more suffering, no more problem, no more the usual condition world type of problem. In fact, whatever mind state you experience in the condition world, it cannot be more superior than this state, because this one is completely devoid of any suffering or misery or even movement. So that's why the Buddha said Nibbana paramang sukang. Sukang is bliss. So in English is Nibbana is bliss supreme. So Nibbana is the, how to pronounce this word, Sammabodham of Buddhism, means the highest. All Buddhists aspire or make aspiration to realize this state, which is the enlightenment state. However clearly and descriptively one may write on this profound subject, however glowing may be the term in which one attempts to describe its utter serenity, comprehension of Nibbana is impossible by mere perusal of books. Nibbana is not something to be set down in print, nor is it a subject to be grasped by intellect alone. It is a supramundane state, lokuttara dhamma, to be realized only by intuitive wisdom. So here, he said the supramundane state is the wrong use of word. Actually, it's not a mental state. It's the unconditioned. A purely intellectual comprehension of Nibbana is impossible because it's not a matter to be arrived at by logical reasoning or attakavacara. The words of the Buddha are perfectly logical, but Nibbana, the ultimate goal of Buddhism, is beyond the scope of logic. Nevertheless, by reflecting on the positive and negative aspect of life, the logical conclusion emerges that in contradiction to the conditioned phenomena existent. I read again. Nevertheless, by reflecting on the positive and negative aspect of life, the logical conclusion emerges that in contradiction to the conditioned phenomena existent, there must exist a sorrowless, deathless, non-conditioned state. In fact, a better way to put it is what the Buddha have actually put forward. He said, if there is no such thing as an unconditioned, if there does not exist the unconditioned, then escape from the conditioned world is impossible. That's why you can only free from the existential world when you can realize the cessation of form and mind, means the unconditioned. The Jataka commentary relates that the Bodhisattva himself, in his birth, as the ascetic Sumedho, contemplated thus. Even as, although misery is, yet happiness is also found. So though indeed existence is, non-existence should be sorted. Even as, although there may be heat, yet graceful cold is also found. So though the threefold fire exists, likewise Nibbana should be sorted. Even as, although there evil is, that which is good is also found. So though it's true that birth exists, that which is non-birth or not birth should be sorted. So this is how the Buddha put it, for you to come to a realization that if you go after duality, you cannot develop the enlightenment. Enlightenment can only be realized if you go beyond the duality. So the first pair is misery and happiness. So though indeed existence is, non-existent should be sorted, means the unconditioned. Then you got hot and cold. Then you got this good and evil, it's the same. So birth give rise to existence. Existence give rise to life. Life has its duality, the good and the bad, all of the other dualities, suffering, misery and happiness. But to transcend the existential world, you have to transcend all the duality that exists within the existential world. Then we have the definition. The Pali word Nibbana, Sanskrit is Nibbana. So now you know why the two spelling. Pali is Nibbana, whereas Sanskrit is Nirvana. It's composed of Ni and Vana. Ni is the negative particle. Vana means weaving or craving. So this craving serves as a cord to connect one life with another life. It is called Nibbana in that it is a departure, Ni, from that craving, which is called Vana or lasting. As long as one is bound up by craving or attachment, one accumulates fresh karmic activities, which must materialize in one form or other in the eternal cycle of birth and death. When all forms of craving are eradicated, reproductive karmic force cease to operate, and one attains nirvana. Actually, the word should be one realizes nirvana. You cannot attain because it's not a state for you to attain. You can only realize the unconditioned. So here, he said, when all forms of craving are eradicated, reproductive karmic force cease to operate. Actually, this sentence is not correct. Because you don't eradicate craving. Craving is something that the mundane mind, through delusion, will cling on to and hold on to and grasp on to. So what you need is wisdom. The moment you develop the wisdom, you are no longer deluded. Then you cannot cling, you cannot hold. Then craving cannot arise. So you cannot eradicate craving in that sense. It's not something that you must eradicate. You can root it out through an understanding, through wisdom. So here, I think most people thought, he said, when all forms of craving are eradicated, then the reproductive karmic force ceases to operate. It should be when wisdom arises, then delusion, that conditioned craving, is no more. Then there is no more rebirth, which means there is no more karmic force to condition rebirth. But what they don't understand is your karmic nature is still there. You understand? Even a form of mind, when they realize nibbana or arahantship, arahantaship, they got no more rebirth of segmented life. Means they will not be reborn through ignorance to come to this existential world again. But their karmic nature is still there. That's why if they take the bodhisattva vow through a pure mind, love and compassion, without delusion or without craving, they can still take rebirth. The karmic force is still there. The karmic nature is still there. But that part they don't understand. That's why they put here, karmic force cease to operate. It's not cease to operate. Karmic force, born or ignorant, condition, ignorant rebirth, cease to operate. That is correct. But the karmic nature, the karmic force is still there. Then he says, and one attains nirvana, escaping the cycle of birth and death. The Buddhist conception of deliverance is escape from the ever-recurring cycle of birth and death, and not merely an escape from sin and hell. So, no more rebirth through the usual mundane way, or they call conditioned by ignorance. That one ceases to be. Nibbana is also explained as the extinction of the fire of lust, hatred, and delusion. Means when the three evil root has been rooted out through wisdom, when you are incapable of evil, then only the mind can cease. If you still have craving, the mind cannot cease. Those who have craving have self-delusion, have ignorance. The evil roots are there. That's why you cannot cease. That's why under the fire sermon, you remember? Here also they stated, the whole world is in flame. But under the fire sermon, you remember what the Buddha said? Everything is burning. And the Buddha say, what is burning? Yeah? It's burning with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So the whole world is in flame, or everything is burning, say the Buddha. By what fire is it kindled or is burning? Yeah? By the fire of greed, hatred, and delusion. By the fire of birth, old age, sickness, and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair, it is burning. That's why under the fire sermon, the Buddha actually talked about the dependent origination. He said everything is burning, burning with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, born of ignorance. And sense data is burning. At first he said the eye is burning. Sense data is burning. Contact is burning. Yeah. Then all the other links, they are all burning. And what are they burning with? With the fire of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why that fire sermon, when it was spoken, expounded, a lot of those ascetics, they become enlightened. Well, these are the group of ascetics that believe in fire as their god. And they have a lot of faith in fire. That's why the Buddha used this particular subject. He called it the fire sermon, to actually make them understand. Okay, we read on. Nibbana, in one sense, may be interpreted as the extinction of all these flames. This is just an analogy. In fact, it's the extinction of all ignorance or craving. When ignorant no more, craving also ceases to be. One must not therefore infer that Nibbana is nothing but the extinction of this flame. That's why down there is the explanation of the word flame they use. Kayamattam ivang na nibbanang ti vipattam abhidha. Oh, under abhidhamma vattara. So they quote from there. Then they continue. One must not therefore infer that Nibbana is nothing but the extinction of this flame, or this ignorant craving. The means should be differentiated from the end. Here the extinction of the flame is the means of attaining Nibbana. Again, the word is wrongly used. Nibbana cannot be attained. You can only realize Nibbana. Then the next subtitle is Nibbana nothingness? What do you think? Yeah? Is Nibbana nothingness? Actually, this is a very difficult understanding. On one side, he tells you it's the unconditioned. So the unconditioned, you cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. So what is the unconditioned? What is Nibbana? Is Nibbana a thing, a mind state, or something that you can talk about? If you cannot, then does it mean there is nothing? Yeah? Anybody want to try? Of course, no concept. Your concept is within the existential world. You cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. But he is asking a very simple question. Is Nibbana nothingness? Your answer is yes or no. Definitely no. You understand. It's just like emptiness. Emptiness is not nothingness, understand not? Everything also empty, nothing. No. Emptiness means empty nature existence. There is still existence, there is still life. But everything is anatta, empty in that sense, sunyata. We are no reality. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. So when you understand that, then you will understand Nibbana is also not what people think. Whatever you try to describe, you cannot describe it. It is the complete opposite of the existential world. You can use the word unconditioned. Means inside that world, there is no such thing as condition. No such thing as a mind that is impermanent or permanent. That's why when it comes to that realization, only the form of mind that goes through means the mundane mind that realizes itself and sees. Then you say there is nothing, also not correct. Is the unconditioned? Yes, that word is correct, but that thing is not the unconditioned or nothingness or empty. Because the very funny thing is, when the form of mind sees, it returns to the source. You understand that? Yeah? Can you follow that part? I better write it down. Yeah? So this word Nibbana is enlightenment. Enlightenment can help me to pull the wire longer. No?
Oh, okay. Oh, speaker fall. Okay, thanks. Just put it back. Huh? Put it back.
Yeah. Okay, thanks. Tell me. Can. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. So Nibbana is enlightenment. Yeah? It is also the unconditioned. But you cannot say Nibbana is therefore nothing. This one actually, when you realize Nibbana, it return to the source. That's why in the Mahayana teaching, he said, you must realize this original mind. Original mind, or Pen Lai Da Mien Mo, or your true nature. Eh? True nature. They also call it the oneness nature. So these are the various names that people give. Yeah? Original nature or original mind. Yeah? This one can be nature or mind. So Sometimes they also call it the true nature, the oneness nature. But you cannot describe it, understand? You know what is the source or not? Source of all things. Everything arises from here. From here, everything starts. That's why it's emptiness. Do you know what is emptiness or not? That's why we got the number zero. Yeah? From zero come one. The single thought of ignorance gives birth to what? Infinity. The mind right existence. You remember the fifth patriarch, after he explained the Diamond Sutra to the sixth patriarch, Huining. What did Huining actually say back to the fifth patriarch? He came to great awakening, you remember? When he reached a point, he said, this mundane mind, you must learn how to use it, but not to be deceived by it. He straight away came to great awakening. Yeah. Then, you remember, he told the fifth patriarch, how amazing is it? This true nature, this original nature, oneness nature, the source, is already complete by itself. And nothing is apart from it. All Dhamma arise from it. You remember? Yeah, that is the source. But you cannot talk about it because this is unconditioned. This is returning to the beginning. And this one is also that whole existential thing. Oneness. That's why nothing is apart from it. From there, everything arises. And from to there, everything written for you to realize the enlightenment, the awakening. That's why you have to cease the form and mind. The form and mind is the vehicle which you come, understand, from the source, through the first thought of ignorance, you fall. Then, the infinity of life. Means the infinite mind right existence. So the Buddha mentioned, he said, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance. You remember? Yeah. So he said, this one is inconceivable. Is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance. So this first thought of ignorance, you can never conceive it unless you are the Sammasambuddha. That's why he said inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that condition the subsequent birth and death of living beings. Yeah. So this teaching is very unique because there is no other religion that can teach this type of very ultimate understanding of the teaching. If you look at our universe, you will understand how immense the universe is. Yeah. How many of you are science students? Oh, you are science student. Huh? Only one? Two. What about the rest? All arts one. Oh, so arts, what you all study? Literature. they used to tell me this joke. He said, some of our ministers, they are from the arts one, and they put them Minister of Science Technology or Minister of Primary Industry. So they go and make video the artistic aspect of their training. So when it comes to technical thing, it's not easy. So as science student, you will know how immense our universe is. When we talk about light years, means if you travel at the speed of light for 1 year, it's called 1 light year. And you know how fast is the speed of light? 186,000 miles per second, not per hour, per second. Traveling at 186,000 miles per second, you travel for 1 full year, it's only 1 light year. And scientists has this capacity of the Hubble telescope. They can see until about 15 billion light years away. You know how much is billion or not? 15 plus 90 at the back. Billion. Light years, not years. Light years. I mean, you travel at the speed of light for 15 billion years. You haven't reached the boundary. There are still things beyond. And the universe is so immense. The star system, they are so immense. That's why I say every now and then, there are collision of star system, galaxies. Then there is this birth and death of stars. They call it the supernova. Then just like I was watching the Astro, they got this program on science. He talked about this, how planet will form, how from the supernova, then the big burst, the very very immense burst of energy leading to the neutron star, and also then that burst of energy created the solar, or they call cosmic dust. And this cosmic dust is so immense, they managed to capture them on the Hubble telescope. And this dust lasts for millions and millions and millions of years. Then slowly they form planets. Then some of the planets, because they are too near the star, their atmosphere will burn. And it was reported one of the planets that suffered that fate, he said the whole atmosphere within a short period of time completely evaporated. Then the burning is at the rate of 1,000 ton per second. So you want to get rid of your plastic and your rubbish, not a problem at all. 1,000 ton, so you put it near there, within 1 second it's all gone. But there is very intense heat. That's why it has to be very near the sun. That's why we all, as a planet, we are lucky. We are the third planet from the sun. And our atmosphere is still intact. It seems the fourth planet, Mars, the atmosphere is almost gone. Then Mercury and Venus. They say Venus got chance of having life, but very slim. But Mercury, the chances is almost zero. Unless that being is very special. And it's so hot, so near. It's the nearest planet. And our solar system is just one of the very, very minute solar system. And there are billions and billions and billions of more sophisticated and bigger ones. And yet our solar system is already so unique. We got this Saturn with this ring. Then we got this Jupiter, got so many moons. We only got one moon. Some of the planets don't have moon. That's why to find a planet like Earth is not really easy, but there are a lot because of the immensity of our universe. So when it comes to the universe, you can hardly comprehend. It's way beyond. That's why this, the source, oneness nature, is very amazing. And according to the teaching, the Mahayana teaching, the scripture, do you know, when you realize the enlightenment, especially when you become a Sammasambuddha, you can return to the source and you can understand all things. That's why the Sammasambuddha, when they come, they can understand everything. That's why during the time of the Buddha, 2600 years ago, do you know, when they point to the star in the sky, the Buddha explained to them, even scientists at that time cannot understand. He said, the amount of star that is in the heaven, he said, in space, they are more than the sand on the Ganges River. You know the Ganges River is so long, so many thousand miles. And how much sand is there on the Ganges River? He said the number of star system up there is a lot more than the sand on the Ganges River. How did he know? It's because he has this oneness nature understanding. He is a Sammasambuddha. So, a lot about the teaching, you look at it, it's not easy to comprehend for the ordinary mind, especially the mind of living being, full of avijja, full of ignorance, delusion. And do you know what human beings are doing? They think this is the only world in this universe. Fighting among themselves, arguing among themselves, killing and deceiving each other, and getting angry over all this very minute small thing. You are just like a speck of dust in this universe. And yet you don't know, you think you have a lot of great, like our Donald Trump. everywhere also, he give ultimatum. So a lot of things, they even played on the, what they call, repeated on the video. He liked to use this word, nobody is better than me. Then, recently, believe me. You must believe me. You believe me. He said, I'm the best. I'm the one. Then he contradicted himself everywhere. So, living beings are of that nature. Sometimes not only him. Before we understand the Dhamma, we also think we are very big, very great. That's why my nature, when it arises, is very different. When I was in Form 4, Form 5, I told you, 1971, I look up at the sky. You know. I like to be in the open field or whatever. Then I look up at the sky, the star, especially a clear night, with all the star. Then this mind start to probe. Straight away you will question, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? The whole universe is so immense. Every star is a potential sun or bigger. And what am I doing here? Who am I? What am I? Then I realize I'm only one of the 5 to 6 billion, that time I think less than 6 billion population. You're only one of the 5 to 6 billion. Now you got almost 6 over to 7 billion human beings on this earth now. And you haven't counted the living beings. So. Actually, you are like a speck, insignificant speck in this universe. That's why I look at all these things and realize, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? Then suddenly inside, tell me from the nature, you must meditate to understand. At that time, I don't know the Dhamma. I was still searching. But the following year, when I was in Lower Six, I received one book written by K. Sri Dhammananda, the first edition of What Buddhists Believe, the red color on the river. Then I suddenly saw the Four Noble Truths. Then I realized, that's it, no need to search. This is the real one. Yeah. Nobody can explain to you about life, existence in the universe so clearly and so beautifully. And he can summarize all of life, both the mundane and supramundane, into just four noble truths, which is so beautiful. That's why at that time I was so amazed. I say, whoever he is, I say, especially 2,600 years ago, he must be the real one. Deep inside, you know, my nature knew. That's why after that I never searched anymore. That's it. Then I went all out to develop the understanding of his teaching and to cultivate. So coming back to this topic, Nibbana, is a very, very wide and very interesting topic. Not easy for most people. But if you have the faith, the sincerity, the perseverance, the diligence, you cultivate sincerely, you can one day develop the realization. Initially, it's just a glimpse. You will go through the glimpse of Nibbana. That will already qualify you as sane. You would have realized sainthood by then. Especially the first stage and second stage, Sotapanna shape and Sakadagami shape. It's just a glimpse of that Nibbanic experience. You realize it. Just within that glimpse, the cessation, after that you come out here, you know, you understand very deeply. You can understand a lot of things. Then you know what that state is. It's not a state, sorry. What that Nibbanic unconditioned mind is. Yeah. It's completely the unconditioned. You can call it the true mind, the true nature or whatever, but it don't have anything inside there. There is no pure awareness or so. No fine aggregate or form of mind. Everything ceases. Then it returns to the source. The true nature, the orient, all these are words. But the form of mind that realizes it, that goes through it, will understand. Well, when it comes out of it, through the awareness, it will start to develop the deep understanding of how this come about, how your form of mind come back, how it animate into a human being again. Then how it activate back your brain, your heart area, your tantian area, and make you a human being again. You can see the whole process. In fact, when you go into that, it's just like the death process. Before the form of mind die, there is this cessation, but for a moment only. But it's not a dream, because that one, actually, all the three areas of consciousness go back to one and cease. But because of the karmic consciousness, that form of mind develops the rebirth consciousness and straight away go the other direction. Then, through ignorance, they cannot understand all this. That's why a lot of teaching, especially the Tibetan teaching, where they teach you how to die, powa and all that thing. They say before you die, very easy to get enlightened. Because he say your nature will return. Then you can have the understanding, the awareness guided. You can realize that enlightenment. But don't hope for that. Forget about it. It's just like last minute, you want to go toilet, you go and look for a toilet or try to get the material to build the toilet. By the time you finish building it, that whole thing already gone. So no point. So forget about all this, because chances is if you don't cultivate, you don't have the training, the mindfulness, the awareness, the understanding or the realization, you don't know how to die. And before you die, you already lost consciousness. You know what take over? Your karmic consciousness. You totally cannot decide anything. You don't even know what is happening. Your karmic consciousness take over and condition you into whatever thing that you experience. Yeah. That's why they become like totally different behavior, different character, different personality. We all, the Chinese culture, we have this word to describe it. They say you are, when you are about to die, your character, personality all change. They say Lao Huan Xiong, Huan Xiong. How you use the English word to describe Huan Xiong? What is the equivalent English word? Lao Huan Xiong, you karmic consciousness take over, you are not your normal self already. Me, Huan Xiong, you become not you already. Something else behaving inside there. No such word. But we all, Chinese culture very rich, Lao Huan Xiong. I also don't know how to describe English. What is the Mandarin word? Huan Xiong is what? Fan Chan. Fan Chan. What is the meaning of Chan? Oh, not normal la. Fan Chan. Not normal. Got word. Not normal. Abnormal behavior. Correct, abnormal behavior. Huan Xiong la. Fan Chan. 不正常. Abnormal behavior. If you don't have the Dhamma, you don't have the mindfulness awareness, I tell you, you don't know how to die. When you're about to die, you got a lot of fear. Then the karmic consciousness take over. But if you have developed the mindfulness, the awareness, and the understanding of the Dhamma, very easy to die on. Actually, nothing die. No one die. And you will know how to die. Like my teacher say, Ajahn Chah used to tell me, you must know how to die before you die. You can laugh at the dead. You know what is the meaning? You can laugh at the dead. When you are about to die, you can laugh. When you are about to die, you fear or you laugh? Fear more. Really? You can laugh at the dead. You're about to die, there is this understanding and joy. There is no, nothing die. And when I was young, I went through the whole process. And I didn't know that was death. Very naturally, my awareness came in. Then I was fully aware of how it happened. Then I saw, that time I don't know it was the craving force. There is this craving force that binds my consciousness to the body. Then it start to dissipate. The word dissipate is correct. It become weaker and weaker and weaker. Until finally, that craving force gone. And you know what happened? All my three areas of consciousness come back into one axis. Then, because the random of consciousness inside don't have craving force to bind it to the body, this one just come out. That's why I was above in the ceiling up there. Then I saw my body down there. That time I was, I think, 8 or 9 years old. And I don't know what all this is. Until my brother walked in, say something. Then I call him. He cannot hear me. To me, it's like very loud already. He cannot hear me. Then I realize I am not in my body. So what happened? Immediately I try to go in back to my body. I cannot go in. It's like it doesn't belong to me. And because of that, I don't know how I know what to do. I just give it a push. Pop, I went in. Nobody taught me. Then the moment I went in, the next thing I want to do is, at that time energy all come back. Although I was so weak, that day I was having this very strenuous exercise and play. I play a lot when I was young. I had not enough food. So I was so tired when I came back. I almost collapsed on the bed. Totally no more energy even to walk or to move. Then I was like a log there sleeping. So tired. And because I was so tired, that whole thing happened. I got no more energy, even the energy to maintain the craving force also no more. Oh, that's why it dissipated, and it showed it to me, meant to be. Then after that, the first thing I want to confirm is I'm not dreaming. I already knew I'm not dreaming. Then I went out, I catch hold of my brother. I said, did you went in just now, say all those words and come out? He looked at me, He said, how did you know? You were sleeping like a log. I said, don't worry. I just want to confirm that you went in and you say all those things. Oh. That's why I know this random or consciousness can come out. What is it? No, he was looking for something. He didn't talk to me. He came in and he talking to himself. Where is this and that? He was looking for that thing. Because we all that time, my father bought this shop lot, single story, at that house shop lot. There are only two rooms. One room is my grandmother. My grandmother stay one room. We all nine children with my mother stay the other room. Nine of us share one small room. You know how big that room is or not? You will never believe. 10 by 12 or 13 feet. 10 of us stay inside there. Yeah. Elevated platform. It's about 1.25 feet. 1.25 feet high. I think about 15 inches high. One big platform like that. So everybody like sardine. Then no blanket one. We are so hot. How to have blanket? Every time rain, we are all really happy. Rain means got ventilation. Oh, very nice. Then no fan, nothing. Yeah. But that was life. And we really appreciate life that time. Oh, that time wherever we go, you can sleep in the open with the fresh air. We felt so good. Then also, after that, I grew up. Then later on, when I developed the ability to meditate and understand all these things, then I reflected back. Then I realized for me to learn, for me to understand, so that I can teach and share all this. Then I realized, if at that age, without the Dhamma, also I can have the sati and the awareness, means like what my teacher said, I won't know how to die. Understand? Not a problem at all. Then, not only that, later on, when I go through a phase of like the angel, remember? I went through the angel. I was actually very, very tired. Because it's supposed to be a 1 hour thing. 2 hours only come out, almost 3 hours. And the worst is what? I was told to fast the night before. Then morning operation delay until 2 something. I don't have food. 2 something operate until almost 5 something. Almost 6 o'clock only come out. That's why the first thing I ask for is hot drink, Milo. Oh, that one helped me. And actually, during that time, I can feel and fully aware of my life force and everything. And I know what that thing is. If it were to cease, I can go through it, not a problem at all. Then, of course, the body has its own way of the body is very wise actually. It will switch you off. It will switch you off and make you unconscious. so that you can rest inside there. But when I was about to be switched off, luckily my wife was with me. He called me. I was fully aware. I thought, don't worry, let me rest. I need to rest. I want to shut down and rest. The body want to shut down. Then after that, I asked for hot drink. Then after I drink, then the food came. Then after I take the food, I become normal again. That's why without food cannot. When you are like very sick or very weak, you better make sure you have food. Food. Food is very important. And the body can assimilate very fast. Absorb very fast. I don't know about you all. For me, very fast it goes in. The moment I take something sweet, it will go in. Especially condensed milk. I like condensed milk. Then you need nutritious thing. Especially sugar. Initially it's sugar. Sugar is energy, immediate energy. Then milk is very good. Milk. How did we come to here? We're supposed to talk about Nibbana, isn't it? Wait. What's the time now? Oh, still half an hour. Still early. So this I clear. Today's topic is quite unique. That's why I want to share some of this with you all. Then go back and read this short note. The previous Thursday class. Was it the previous Thursday class? The one Angie wrote on. I described the enlightenment also. Nibbana and all those things. You go back and read that one. That one will complement and help you understand all this. I think it's in the mic. Last Thursday is 20th, Was it 20th? Last Thursday is 20th, isn't it? So it's 13th of... I try to look for it. Ah, 13th of June, yes. 13th of June. Okay, I run through it quickly so that you can understand. Outline short note for 13th of June Thursday class. Meditation is to be done with understanding. It involves training the mind to be aware, accumulating into moment-to-moment awareness which is continuous within life itself. This is the new way of living life, whereby awareness is continuous and one is always heedful, means ever mindful and constantly meditative. Brother Theo shared the tap dripping analogy used by Ajahn Jagaro to explain what sati or mindfulness is. He said, cultivating mindfulness is like turning on a tap. Initially, it hardly drips, meaning one is hardly mindful throughout the day. Then as one trains the mind with understanding, this mindfulness starts to arise. It starts to drip, bit by bit, meaning every drip is one moment of awareness. And initially, the drips are not continuous yet. You eventually train yourself until the drip becomes a continuous flow. It is like awareness is now continuous, not just one moment at a time. In the beginning, when your mind is not trained, within split second the mindfulness is gone because of the mental hindrance. So it is not easy to be aware all the time because of your heedless thinking born of your mental hindrance and habitual tendency. The main reason is you lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. Without these five spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances take over and they will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, calmness and awareness. Thus, for you to be constantly meditative, you must develop the five spiritual faculties until they are very stable. Then cultivate following the 10 steps as stated in the Abhijja Sutta. First step is associating with Dhamma friend. Step 2, listening to the true Dhamma. Then step 3, having faith in the Triple Gem by putting the essential Dhamma to test. This faith drives you to cultivate further. With Sadda and Virya, you can understand the essential Dhamma easily, which is the beginning of initial wisdom. Yoniso Manasikara. Then contemplate, inquire and reflect on them to straighten your view, to arise the first and second turning wisdom leading to the initial wisdom, which is step 4. You are not deluded anymore because you are able to see things as they are. Your mind will not stir like before upon sense experience. Initial wisdom leads to sati sampajana. Then the rest of the step will more or less automatically unfold. That is, step 6 is sense restraint. Then step 7 is the three way of right conduct. Then you can do the four foundation of mindfulness, which is step 8. Then the 7 factors of enlightenment leading to enlightenment. 7 factor enlightenment is step 9. Enlightenment in the here and the now is step 10. When you cultivate correctly following this enlightenment sequence of the Abhijja Sutta, ignorance will be rooted out and you will be transformed from a heedless being to a heedful awakened one. Initial wisdom leads to sati sampajana. Awareness becomes a continuous flow because mind has entered sati. You then have a very stable mind which is heedful throughout the day. Thus, it is important to train mind until the spiritual faculties are strong. Initial wisdom is vital for daily mindfulness to become continuous. Mindfulness, well developed, gives rise to piti, spiritual calmness or joy, leading to sukhang or blissfulness of mind. Mindfulness becomes more refined and meditative objects become very subtle. Then one experiences paucity, which is the tranquility and stillness of mind. This is your silent mind, your true mind, which is also your meditative mind. This is true meditation. As mind enters sati, there is transformation. Even when you are out of the form of meditation, you can detect and be aware of your heartbeat, subtle breathing, etc. Every movement is magnified. All seeing, hearing, tasting, tactile, and your thought process are in sati. You are heedful in the midst of life. When you are able to connect to your true mind, you will inherit from your spiritual nature. All understanding will start to unfold. Dhamma is clear. You can easily understand the Mahayana Sutta as truth because the true mind can awaken to truth. You can use this mindfulness, the silent mind, to see your evil roots, to straighten your view, and to awaken. Thus, wisdom is vital. But most cultivators are too impatient and they tend to be too eager to relate to their sense experience the theoretical Dhamma knowledge that they have gathered leading towards complacency. Contemplate the Dhamma until they are very, very clear before relating to the Dhamma to stabilize your understanding. You need to silence your mind until the awakening or wisdom and understanding arise first. Don't go and look for the Dhamma. The Dhamma is to be awakened to via the direct seeing by the silent mind. When one have a glimpse of the Nibbanic state, it is important to stabilize it and allow the cessation to continue for longer duration until it is very stable. Bratio shared further that when you come out of that cessation, you will know who you are and what you are, what that nature is. When you are in it, the form and mind completely cease. Awareness and the pure consciousness also cease. This is the unconditioned. Now, this is the part I am trying to share with you. One cannot decide when the form and mind will arise again.
As the forming mind is connected to that cessation, even know how it happened. But the moment it goes into cessation, you cannot talk about it. When you are in this phase, you cannot decide when to come out. The condition will arise by itself. When it come out, awareness and mindfulness will know how it all started. How the consciousness first come in again at the heart area and immediately split into three. One at your brain area, one at your heart area, and one at the Tan Tian area. The moment consciousness enter these three main areas, it will activate this center. You become animated into a human being again. You see clearly with awareness how your brain starts to function again, like a dynamo starting to generate electricity again. Same goes for the heart area, how the pulse of life starts, how the Tan Tian activates the energy movement in your body. Your mind will be transformed. When you come out of it, you can see the sense data coming in one by one, like in slow motion. Your understanding will be very different from then on who you are, what you are, and how you become a human being. All these are not described in the scripture, so you cannot understand unless you have gone through it yourself. Reason why the Dhamma is Paccetang. The Buddha mentioned that Nibbana is not something you can talk about using word because it's the unconditioned. However, Brother Theo has to use word to describe to you what actually happened. But you must not look for it. When you do experience it, all the memory and understanding will come back to you, and you will understand all this beautifully. You might use your own word, which is different, to describe it, but they all point to the same experience and transformation. Cessation of form and mind is always the same for all. This is the oneness nature, see? And for those who have gone through it, they will know. The Buddha said, if it's not because of the unconditioned, escape from the conditioned world will be impossible. The conditioned world needs condition to manifest. The conditioned world is always subject to condition, which is dependent originating, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, and thus not you, not a permanent unchanging entity you can cling onto, grasp onto. You will see the empty nature of existence, the unreality of life, and the phenomenal world of consciousness very clearly. You truly understand what this form of mind is and how it arises. There is a true nature connected to it. After that, you are able to comprehend the teaching of the Buddha clearly. You can see the big picture with all the small pieces of puzzle falling into place. Reason why you are able to link all the teaching after that. And you will also come to understand that all the Buddha's teaching, essential Dhamma, spin off from the Four Noble Truths. That is, from right view, it all comes about. You are able to link them all through experiential understanding, not through knowledge. The Buddha said, the Dhamma can only be understood by the wise, each for themselves. Paccetang veditatbo venohiti. Unless you have the wisdom, you cannot understand the Dhamma. The Buddha can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself, awaken yourself. No amount of teaching can help you if you don't have the faith, sincerity, and perseverance to diligently develop the understanding of it. When Brother Theo first read about the Four Noble Truths in 1971, he was only 17 years old. But his nature knew what that was. And from that moment onward, he stopped his search for truth. Brother Theo knew this is it. This is the secret of life. And this teaching is the most important in life. This Four Noble Truths explain the whole of life, both its mundane and supramundane aspect. His nature has developed this understanding before, thus past cultivation is vital. Brother Theo continued to share and caution Kayanamita that complacency can occur when one experiences a very good or special meditative mind state and think one has attained, because this is not wisdom, it's just a conditioned state of mind. It is important to continue developing your daily mindfulness to enable you to see your subtle craving, greed, and the dependent origination link of paticca-samuppada clearly. Then through personal experience, you will come to realize how beautiful the teaching is. You will understand why Buddha said we are all still deluded regardless of how educated we are. Self-delusion or ignorance means not understanding who you are, causing you to cling to your form and mind and get afflicted. The three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are behind all that you do when you are deluded. Deluded beings tend to have a motive behind what they do and to argue with others to defend their motive. They are not able to act with a pure thought which is free of the three evil roots. Instead, they always act with the for me or not for me selfish intention. This is the reason why Master Chien Hua modified the five precepts to the six principles in his teaching by adding in no selfishness and no self-benefiting. He always say, 六大宗旨, 不自私, 不自利. As part of the six principles needed to live the good life. When you are very mindful, you are very sensitive, and you will have sense restraint, because you will be able to see clearly the slightest movement of like and dislike and your subtle mental intention. You cannot do something selfless due to attachment born of self-delusion. For example, sending your children to the best college also comes from the thought that conditions you to believe that they are your children, and that is why you are willing to send them to the best college. Brad Dio shared his own experience on this during his early days of cultivation. He noticed very clearly that almost all his action and decision are based on some form of selfish motive behind. Thus, he continued to straighten his view and do things in a different manner. He started to understand love means love, joy means joy, there is no opposite. He was able to help anyone genuinely when there is condition to help. But you say this can be done. If there is no condition, even his own family member or relative, he also will not help. He does not force his children to study the Dhamma when they were still young. He just let them be and let conditions set in which will manifest due to their past karma. With good condition, you will get to hear the Dhamma. Everything in this universe are just causal phenomena, a phenomenal world of consciousness, no reality, only memories. There is no such thing as my loved one, my wealth, my possession, etc. They only relate to the existential world. But because our form and mind is subject to karma, which recognizes relationship, so you must do your duty in accordance with this law of karma and not be deluded by the form and mind, thinking they are your loved one and they are, and you are real. Sister Tammy shared her recent retreat experience where she experienced hearing an eerie crying sound in the middle of the night. Tammy, remember? There were rumors about unseen beings around the area. Her thought proliferated. She reflected on it and said, it's just a fear, so don't worry. But Brother Teo shared further, that fear arises due to one's thought projection. So stay with the fear. You remember I told you to stay with the fear, with awareness, and see what happens. Often it's from your conditioned memory, which will remind you of your Chinese belief that in dark places there are ghosts. Then you just ask about ghosts. But when you have the understanding, you do not fear. And the eerie crying sound may continue. At least you notice those thought movement. You know that this non-human has no physical form and thus cannot harm you. You should then trust your nature, your virtue, your Dhamma cultivation to protect you. There must be condition for this non-human to be here. It is usually the case that this non-human just want marriage. King Bimbisara's story is a good example where he could not sleep due to the spirit who actually wanted marriage, and after he shared marriage, the spirit became devas. This non-human usually can sense one's aura. Ayo. Wait, just now I touched something, it went off. Ah, okay, I got back the page. This non-human usually can sense one's aura, and they need merits to go to a higher rank. We can just silence our mind, radiate love and metta, and share merits with them, and they can receive it. When we chant Akasatta Chobomata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anumoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana, the devas will rejoice, and they will long protect you and the Buddha Sasana. That is why you tend to notice that when we travel, go on spiritual trip and meditation retreat, everything somehow fall into place, and it was as if we are always very blessed, very lucky, and well protected. The weather too are always very kind to us. Buddha Sasana will continue to exist as long as there are genuine Dhamma cultivator. Mental hindrance are the one that hinders you from entering the meditative state to meditate, from keeping your precept, from having virtue, and cause you to entangle yourself with problem in life. With Dhamma understanding, you will know how to live differently to have the good life, where everything is a blessing instead. As Kayamita, we have our cultivation. So learn to trust your virtue, your merits, and your blessing. Your 10 meritorious actions performed while attending our Dhamma classes and sessions are very powerful. And when you invoke the power of merits for causes and conditions, for you to always avoid the foolish and heedless, meet up with the wise always, you will progress beautifully. Thus, you don't have to worry about having the good life, as your nature will shine for and support you. Nothing protects you except your virtue, wisdom, and goodness. There is no need to fear, as it is only the thought that fear. Cultivate continuously, share and transfer merit to all beings and Dhamma protector. Rejoice and be a blessing to all. That is why every Dhamma session before and after the class, puja is done. You recall to mind the significance of all the puja offering. You take refuge, you renew your precept, perform dana, sila, and bhavana, chant salutation to the triple gem. You listen to the Dhamma, you rejoice, straighten your view, share and transfer merit, provide service to community. All these are the 10 meritorious actions. As you do this wholesomeness in every session with a heedful mind, you are transformed without you even knowing it. When you attend one of these sessions with faith, sincerity, and attentiveness, the merits you receive is beyond what you can imagine. Sometimes a person who have lived a hundred plus of worldly life doing worldly merit cannot even accumulate this much of merit, because the merit you get from one of these sessions is way beyond theirs. If you attend one of our annual meditation retreat, for example, our 9 days annual meditation retreat at Cameron Highland Sampo Temple, the wholesomeness your nature receive will be way beyond, and you will benefit tremendously, progress very fast along the path of Dhamma. But they will explain further on sharing of merits with unseen beings of spirit when you are traveling. You can share merit from your heart when you can feel and sense them, silence your mind and communicate to talk to them. Explain to them that you know they have been occupying this place long before you arrive. But in our society, there is the tradition that if we pay for the room, we have the right to stay for the night. So you are most welcome to stay and help protect this place. I come in peace and mean no harm. If I had caused you any misunderstanding or anxiety, please accept my sincere apology. Then wish them well-being and happiness always. You are just there to stay for the night, not to create any unnecessary misunderstanding, and that you hope they understand. As cultivator, Dhamma practitioner, you will share and transfer merits to them, radiate love and metta to them. this non-human are actually everywhere with different culture and religious belief. You don't think only you exist. They are everywhere actually. Oh, the word spelling wrong. Above outline short notes should be above, not about. Draft was prepared by Sister Angie. Beyond. Okay. This one is very good. Oh, still got 8 minutes. You got any question? This outline short note is very good. Is it clear? You got any question? We better spend the 8 minutes discussing what you want to know. Any question? Ah, yes. Luckily you got Tammy. You all the rest never seldom answer. Yeah, Tammy, yes.
Okay, good evening.
Yeah.
Matthew and Okaramita.
Yeah.
This one is, it arises because that day you were sharing about the pain.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share so that they can develop
the faith and benefit from it.
I remember the first time when I only can sit for 15 minutes maximum. It's like the leg all numb.
Numb and very painful.
And then I remember the first time I read, this is the retreat teacher. He introduced a book to us. I forgot the name of the Long Po already. It's in Chinese. So the Long Po was saying he was having cancer. Then the author was saying that when he observed Long Po, even having cancer, like, you know how many times they need to do the chemotherapy. He came back so energetic, like nothing happened. Still do, you know, this Thai tradition, they need to
build houses and everything.
He still can do it. Then he was asking him about this. Then he says that if it's pain, you just need to aware that, how to say, if you aware, like, if you die, that kind of, and then it's actually not pain, it's just the pulling sensation.
Yeah, the sensation, like what I explained.
Then I was reading that.
Because if you don't create the thought of dislike for that sensation by labeling it pain, then it will not become a mental hindrance. Then you can sit through it. You can just relax and accept it. So the acceptance of that sensation is very important. Then your mind, surprisingly, started to take over, and you can be aware. Then all of a sudden, something will happen.
I don't really know what happened. It's just something like this. I read when I finished, it's like he said something about the pulling and the sensation. Pain. I remember here the part is very painful because overlapping here.
Correct,
and then
right,
this part is so painful.
The place you cross your leg.
Then that is like using effort lah. I couldn't aware on like
position. You try to stay there, your awareness.
Then try to like cycle here, like not pain, it's pulling, like, you know. Then I ask like, what is pain? Then it's pulling, it's not pain. Then what
it's
is
a
pain?
Sensation. But when you label it as dislike, sensation, unpleasant, it become pain. And that is ill will, dislike. That's why it become a mental hindrance. Then you cannot become peaceful. Then your mind actually dislike it. It's like want to push it away. So that is the craving, negative craving. That's why your mind cannot enter sati. But you can accept it, like what I say. I believe what my teacher told me, Ajahn-Chandra. Body is body. Mind is mind. Mind never the body. Body never mind. So, I'm willing to see it through. It's just the body. Even paralyzed also, I will see it through. That's how I see it through. Then all of a sudden, it flashed through.
So, I think I struggled for some time. All of a sudden, the whole thing gone.
The whole thing gone.
And then suddenly
it flashes
like
through.
The whole thing can flow. The chi flow.
That is what you must go through. That is very good. Means you partly use your thought and you partly use your psycho thing, that one also can help. But it will not bring about the total shift where there's a flash of light. The flash of light is like a lightning. Your whole mind here, very bright, your brain here. That flash of bright light. They're very funny, you know. The whole thing is gone, no? That the whole thing just gone, no? Then my mind was so amazed, oh. The awareness is the awareness. The body is the body. That pulling thing, no word to describe. You can go down and check again. Gone, completely gone. That's why after that, the pain never come and disturb you already.
It's like straight away. You can endure.
Can stand up without pain on, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Totally no problem. It's like your leg normal again. Oh. Sadhu. Very good. When was it? Recently.
5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, 5 or 6 days ago.
Yes.
Oh, years ago. Oh, Sadhu. You should actually go through it one more time. Well, that one is not a complete shift. If it's a complete shift, you will have no more problem after that. Yeah, I remember that happened in 1988. From that day until now, I got no issue with pain, no problem with pain. I don't have problem at all. I can just sit and relax. And it will just go through it. Where you understand what that thing is. That it will not disturb me. So during the early day when I was not so old, because that time I was age 35, until I think the last 2-3 years, I think that year, you remember when I forgot to bring my cushion up. Well, they supposed to bring up for me. They told me everything up ready. Then when I went up there in Sompo Temple, I can't find my cushion now. So that was the year, also karma, meant to be. So I have to make full use of whatever cushion I have. Then I found one also about this size, but very, very hard one. No? Oh. I think make of foam or rubber. No? Then I was sitting on it. No? Wow. That time only I realized body is still a body. No? I can endure it, but not 9 days, 9 nights. Understand? Well, retreat is continuous. Understand? No? So because of that, I tell myself, don't try to be a hero. Get a chair. That's why after that, they bought me a chair. This type of chair up there, remember last few years. So before the age of 61 or 62, I think, I don't have problem at all. Even now, you want me to say, I can say, but what for go and torture the body for nothing? Not necessary. If you understand, you already have the understanding, then let it be. But you want to show off different. Last time, I used to hear people at the back, they comment, actually it's good comment. Then after the meditation finish, they talk among themselves. These are mostly new people. He said, Brother Teo sat in front there, 3 hours he never moved. Because my session 3 to 6 on. And they were observing me, and they themselves changed posture, don't know how many times on the floor already. Then I went to Bab also same. Those people who came for the meditation sit at the back. They talk among themselves. You see, you look at him. He's always in that cross-legged position. 2-3 hours he never move. They all cannot tahan. So a lot of these things people cannot understand. Because they don't know how to relax. They don't know how to develop awareness. And they don't know how to do it with understanding. If you understand, there is no issue at all. Okay, we better end. I heard the alarm. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then also last Thursday one also very good. Last Thursday one you must listen to the video. I'm still doing the short note. Yes, this short note didn't turn out to be good. This short note got a lot of problem. So I need to spend a lot of time. Almost 2 days already. I felt like, forget about it. Listen to the recording, the video. Very good. It's very complete. But I try to include whatever that is relevant. But you want to understand the whole thing, you must actually listen to the video sharing. This one is not the audio, the video. And I purposely run through the video again. Because I remember what I say is not what was written down there. In the, because she used, this time she used a lot of her own word, and I think because it was so long, she was in a hurry. I think she tried to rush a few things. So came out the sequence or not correct. So I had to delete quite a bit. Then the rest I try to, whatever relevant, I try to modify it and change it to suit. So go back and listen to the last Thursday one. Then just now, the previous Thursday one, read through the notes again. You will gain a lot of beneficial understanding. Actually, the short notes are very important. But sometimes the draft didn't turn out to be something that I can easily do the editing. Sometimes it completely out. I find it very difficult to adjust. Well, no matter how I adjust, it doesn't reflect what I say. So that's why sometimes I delete the whole sentence now. Then they also cannot understand why I say all those things. So they couldn't relate it as a continuous flow of sharing. Except those who go and listen, then do a like transcript of that portion. Once you do a transcript of that portion, I will know, and then I can recall what I say. Then I will know how to modify for you. But when you do that, it's at least 4 or 5 pages. Got one time, the Singapore Han sister, your sister, 8 pages record that one. No longer shadow. No, it's not long notes. It's still short notes. But he tried to take the important one only. Also 8 pages though. If it's transcript, 60 pages. Our normal transcript, 60 pages. That's why you can never fathom how much Dhamma has been shared for every session. You can never find this type of Dhamma, I tell you. Almost the whole 2-3 hours is solid teaching. And you think you know. Because I put it in such a way, like just now I read, very easy to understand. You close a book, you cannot repeat, I tell you. You cannot repeat. You try to write it out, you cannot. And I don't refer to anything when I share. Do you understand? Just from the question, the condition, from inside here come out. So to do it up in the transcript, that's why all this transcript book, if you were to read through, you will be so amazed. Within one session, so much thing has been discussed and shared. And for people to develop the understanding, you have to read slowly, mark them, write notes, reflect, contemplate to get the deep meaning. That's why I say the merit that you all receive by going through one session, if you have the faith, the sincerity, and the attentiveness, and the perseverance, you will definitely benefit tremendously. One session is exceptional. That's why I use the word beyond your ability to comprehend or fathom what you have gone through. Actually, this life, a lot of you all have a lot of merits, parami, and blessing, because you have the condition to receive all this, and you have the faith, and you keep on attending without fail. Especially the retreat. One of the retreat, you really pay attention. I think for the next few aeons, you also cannot have this condition. especially when the sasana is no more. Because the continuous session, you really develop the sincerity, the faith, the attentiveness, attention and the mindfulness, and you really listen, it really go in. And your faith become unshakable. Then you will realize, you will awaken, you will transform, sometimes without you knowing it. The amount of pure energy, wisdom energy that goes in the vibration when you are there together, the collective consciousness together with my nature sharing and all the great beings sharing. If you know how to relax and silent and receive all this, we use the word jia bi liao. Jia bi liao in English is what? It cannot finish. But it's a Chinese proverb. Means you receive a lot. More than what you can eat. So, in English is what? More than a plate full. More than a plate full. But it's not plate, no. It's very, very extensive. Very extensive. Okay, we better share merit. Then we end. You can rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Akasata chubumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya devang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyate tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo satukalena sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko devina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect to all the worthy ones, then we end.